I've become a really big believer in having a really narrow focus for yourself, for myself as a business owner in the marketing space, but also for my clients, especially my accounting firm clients. When they have a really narrow focus, that's great. But the biggest fear in a lot of these cases is, how do we narrow our focus without like losing our current business?
Welcome to the Marketing Expedition Podcast, an auditory journey through the latest in marketing, branding, and advertising. Now, here's your Marketing Expedition guide, Ray Allen.
On this week's episode of the Marketing Expedition Podcast, I get to speak with Matt Banker, and he is the founder and visionary of Banker Creative. Matt started designing and building websites at a small agency, and he grew frustrated that there wasn't a better way to create content for a website. Clients would come up with content that was confusing and full of industry jargon, but as a designer working with different clients every week, he didn't have the industry knowledge to do much better. That's when he found StoryBrand Framework and began applying it to the website projects for his clients. The way to find marketing success is to stop telling your own story and instead show how your brand fits into the customer's story and helps them be the hero. Matt and Banker Creative are expert listeners. They help businesses take on all of that information that's bouncing around in their heads and distill it into a message the audience will resonate with. When Matt is not helping his clients find their authentic voice, he can be found in his backyard vegetable garden. And we're going to talk a lot about word-first approach and how to stop wasting money on things that don't work and all the things that you need to help you niche down in your business. But first, it's time for the marketing essentials moment, the basics that you need to help you continue to build your brand and your bottom line.
On this week's topic, I want to talk about stretch goals. What is a stretch goal? Why should you even bother? What is it? What does it mean? How is it going to help you? Maybe you've heard about stretch goals before. It's beyond the smarter goal or the commitment goals. It's beyond the health goals. It's beyond everything that you could imagine in your business. Maybe it's a little bit slightly under the BHAG, the big, hairy, audacious goal, which is their big, ginormous goal that you're going to do. Your BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal. But a stretch goal is goals set beyond your current capabilities or expectations. You're going to encourage big thinking and innovation. It's beyond what you would normally think that you're capable or your company is capable of doing. A stretch goal is uncomfortable by design. You have to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. Let me say that again. Get comfortable with the uncomfortable. Sometimes we have to have big conversations and big things that we do, but you get comfortable with the uncomfortable. It's not a desensitization. It's not a, you know, it's really more of a practice that you have to implore your people. And when people are there just to watch the clock, you know, oh, it's 5 o'clock, I gotta go. Well, what do you do to implore people to want to do better, to do more, to stretch who they are and what they do and believe? And then it transcends the entire company. So the stretch goal, again, is expectations beyond the norm, right? And so if you think about a stretch goal, what could a stretch goal be? Maybe you have a regular goal of, oh, I want to make, you know, I don't know, 10, 20% profit this year. Maybe I want to make X amount of revenue, or maybe we want to do this and implement this or do that. A stretch goal, on the other hand, is something above and beyond that you're going to do because you're thinking about the entire company, not just the team or the individual, but you're thinking about the entire company. And then you implore others within the company to stretch too. Just like when you go to a yoga studio, guess what? You might want to stretch just a little bit more. you might get a little bit uncomfortable, not to the point where you get like a hernia or something where it like causes pain and you have to go to the doctor, but what is it that you're going to do to stretch yourself just a little bit further to go above and beyond for your entire company, your team, and then the individual? Not the other way around, right? Not the individual, team, company, but what can you do to implore all of your people to stretch just a little bit and want to be a part of the company, want to be a part of the stretch, want to be a part of the big goal that you're setting? And how can they reach it? How can they get there? How can they do what they need to do? And if they're off track, what can you do to coach them up to get them there? And that is a stretch goal. To get them to set goals beyond their current capabilities or expectations. We want to encourage big thinking and big innovation, especially now in this day and age. We have to think beyond the time clock, beyond the paycheck. How do you get people to want to work with you, to help you succeed, help you stretch, help you get there? Because you're then going to in turn reward them for what they're doing and how they're doing it, right? So I want to encourage you to think about a stretch goal that is beyond your comfort zone, beyond your normal capabilities and expectations, and think bigger, dream bigger than what you normally might do. And then reward those who go above and beyond, those that want to support you in your business or their business too, right? Your employees are part of the business. They are a part of what you're doing. I always say the new shareholders are not the shareholders that are like the stakeholders, but the shareholders are the storytellers of your business. The people who will share about your company, share about what you do, right? Share on social media platforms because they're proud to work where you work and what you do. So to build your brand and your bottom line, think bigger. Think about stretch goals. Think about what you can do beyond your SMARTer goals, beyond just the normal expectations. How can you encourage people to go above and beyond so that they understand it will help them in the long run and help them too to make a difference and make an impact? So anyway, you can do some things to set up stretch goals. You can designate those top priorities. You can explain and express what those goals are, and then encourage your people to do some stretch goals. Like, what is it that they're going to do to help you exceed those goals that you're setting, and help them understand that it's in their own best interest every day? Our people, we are only as good as our people. And if our people are going above and beyond, then that makes us 120% better, right? So that's your goal. I want to hear about it. I want to know from this marketing essential moment, the MEM we call it. Tell me what your MEM is. Tell me what your stretch goal is. Tell me how you're going to go above and beyond. Comment on the podcast. Send us a message at hello@themarketingexpedition.com and I'll shout out. Like, I want to hear what your stretch goals are. I want to hear how you're going to go above and beyond the norm, the expectation, or what your capabilities are. What are you going to do beyond what you think your capabilities are? And what is that goal that you're going to do, right? And how are you going to make it happen for you this year? We've gone through so much like pandemic and up and down and recession or not recession, depending on who you are and what industry you're in. But there's so many things like you can do stretch goals. I'm going to increase my revenue by X percent instead of the typical X percent growth. Or I'm going to double the number of active users on X platform within 6 months. I have to be careful of saying X. On any platform within the next 6 months. We're going to, you know, enter three new markets in this year. We're going to provide new products or services, or we're going to do something different that we've never done before. And we're going to show how this stretch goal is going to be productive for you. And we're going to develop and launch maybe new features, or we're going to, I don't know, whatever your stretch goal might be. We're going to reduce bugs in our system, or we're going to increase efficiencies, or we're going to, I don't know, you could even like implement stretch goals on education and professional development. And you could say, okay, our staff's going to become, you know, in our case, Adobe certified, or we're going to read specific amount of books, and we're going to do book reports, and we're going to do blog reports on things that we're going to read above the usual, you know, what we do. We're going to, you know, I don't know, learn a new language. I don't know. Like, we do videos in many different languages. So maybe we're going to, I don't know, tackle a new industry because we have a new language that we've learned. It just is a stretch goal above and beyond what's expected. And it's personal and professional development, right? Lifelong learnership is huge. Like, if you want to continue to learn, regardless if you're at your job or whatever, if you can continue to learn regardless of where you're at, even if you're 99 years old, if you want to continue to learn, it's going to help you in some way or another. I mean, when I'm 99, I want to learn about how I'm going to stay healthy at that age, but all kinds of things, social impact, environmental, like what kinds of things can you do or contribute to your stretch goals? I want to hear about it. Post the comments. And now let's get into the interview, what you've all been waiting for our marketing industry expert. Let's go. Welcome to the Marketing Expedition Podcast. I'm your host, Ray Allen. I'm the president and CEO of Pepper Shock Media and the founder of the Marketing Expedition community. And today's guest, we have Matt Manker. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So Matt, let's just take a little walk down memory lane. I want to hear about some of the things that you've picked up along the way and kind of what got you to where you are now and what you're doing now with your company.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how far back we want to go. I have a background in fine arts. I studied conceptual installation sculpture when I was in college. And I think there are three, maybe four people in the world who are making a living doing that. And so eventually it landed here. But I took kind of the roundabout way to get into marketing. I worked a lot of random jobs. And what I found is that I was always attracted to whatever the biggest problems within an organization were, whether or not it was my like actual job to care about those things. It got me promoted in some cases. It got me fired in one case. But basically, I kind of got to this point where I realized what I really loved doing was consulting and you know, helping people in kind of an advisory role. And through a series of events, I had begun doing some web design and things like that. I found out about StoryBrand and Donald Miller, and they were certifying guides. And I thought, oh, this is a great opportunity for me to borrow somebody else's authority in a space and kind of find my way into a bit more of an advisory role. Because up until that point, as a marketer, I was basically like a designer and a web developer type person. And and most of my work was task type work. You know, people wanted me to do a thing for them. I would do it, but it wasn't necessarily me providing insight or guidance or advisory. And that was the work that I really wanted to do. It was a sweet spot for me doing messaging and a lot of consulting kind of from a words first perspective through StoryBrand and through clients that I found through them and on my own, I guess.
I love it. From task taker to story maker.
Yeah.
I just came up with that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good tagline. I'm going to write that down.
So Matt, now though, you are doing lots of cool things and let's talk more about the sub brands and kind of the niches that you are wanting to get into and what you've been doing and then kind of where you see yourself going from here.
Yeah. So, you know, I started off with a generalist marketing firm when I started it on my own. It was just me at first, but I had a brand, a name, right? So that people didn't think it was just me.
Right? You got a business card. You're good.
Yeah, I had a business card. And I grew a little bit, you know, found some good clients, mm-hmm. Developed a network, started hiring some folks. And so I built a small team. And what I found was just, you know, so much of our work was, it was project-based. And for our own marketing, I was just always wondering, where is the next client going to come from? And and so we got to a point where we decided, I really want something that's a little bit more focused in terms of where I could go to my ideal clients and find them instead of just waiting for them to come to me. And so mm-hmm. we went through a process of deciding to niche down with our firm. And me being, I guess, in this case, a little bit risk averse, I didn't actually want to pivot my whole firm mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I was worried, you know, I'm going to shut off the lead flow from the stuff that is working. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't enough for what I wanted, but I didn't want to turn off that faucet in order to like go in a different direction. So I launched a second company. So we operate as one marketing agency with two brands right now. And so in both cases, we got a lot more narrow in our focus. So my generalist company became just focused on writing, designing, and developing websites. So mm-hmm. we have a little bit of a niche. We call ourselves a words first agency. Mm-hmm. We're really focused on the copywriting side of things, but we just do websites. We don't do digital marketing. We don't do ongoing work for our clients. It's a pretty narrow focus. And then with this new company called Benchmark Growth, we do marketing for accounting firms, and it was a very narrow industry that we worked with, but we do a wider variety of things, although not unlimited. It's limited by the fact that certain tactics work really well for accounting firms and are really important, and then other ones are not. So we still were able to have a fairly, confined set of solutions, and it's been really great for our business. There's some complexity running a couple of brands at the same time, having somewhat different audiences and all that, but having
and working with accountants, I'm sure it comes with its own set of complexities, I imagine.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I don't have an accounting background, but I follow tax Twitter now, and I found my way into some accounting communities, and a lot of the creativity and the way that I think it's the missing matching mm-hmm. piece, you know, for what mm-hmm. they are, like very logical, very numbers oriented, mm-hmm. but they know that they're not creative. A lot of them say, you know, we're not good with words. So all the things that I can bring to the table are a good fit for what they need.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes a lot of sense. Right brain, left brain coming together to maybe be ambidextrous.
even as, you know, even when I was studying art, I tended to have a more kind of cognitive approach rather mm-hmm. than like a lot of artists you think of as emotive, emotional, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And I was always a little bit more creative, I guess, but in a logical sort of way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it fits well for those. But you know, through that process, we just really I've become a really big believer in having a really narrow focus for yourself, for myself as a business owner in the marketing space, but also for my clients, especially my accounting firm clients. When they have a really narrow focus, that's great. But the biggest fear in a lot of these cases is, how do we narrow our focus without like losing our current business? And so this idea of launching sub brands as mm-hmm. a way to address that is something that we've seen success in. And I'm a big believer in it. Actually, I think it's a great way, mm-hmm. not in every case, but in a lot of cases to move forward with your marketing into a really niched in space.
Well, and there's lots of different ways to niche too. It could be what you're offering as the service that you're providing versus mm-hmm. who you're providing it to specifically.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've done a little bit of both, because you've on the generalist side, you've really kind of narrowed down the services that you're providing. And then on the sub brand to being able to promote your services just specifically to accountants, then now you've niched down into the type of industry. Do you have plans to doing other types of industries or other types of services that you're going to niche into? Where do you see yourself going from here?
Yeah, so we're focused right now on, both of these businesses. We're growing them, and then we're working on launching a podcast production company as well. We're doing some of that work through the accounting firm business right now, but we see it as growing. And one of the key things when thinking about a new niche or a different sub-brand, is that the difference, I've learned this from a friend of mine, Todd Howard. He has a framework for helping you figure out your niche. But there's a difference between a favorite market and a true niche, right? Mm. Like, a favorite market is, I like to work with accountants because they always pay their bills on time and because they have, you know, they generally have money. That's great. But why would they want to work with me? A true niche is defensible. You have a unique approach. You have something that they can't get anywhere else, and it's specifically suited for that particular person. And so as we're going through this process for a podcast production company, there are so many podcast production companies out there.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, even in the B2B podcast space, there's so many of them out there. And so we've niched down, and we've decided we're going to take a really specific approach to podcasting, and we're going to position ourselves to really be differentiated. And our approach is using podcasts actually as more of a relationship builder instead of an audience builder. And so you're going directly to your prospects and your partners and referral opportunities to have them on your show rather than trying to build an audience that you can monetize. So all that to say, having a really unique approach, whether that's through the service that you offer or the industry that you target, is the key to having a successful niche, not just having a smaller company. You know, like, you don't want to just be another small fish in a big pond. You have to have a really targeted way to approach it.
Right.
Yeah,
you got to get the fish finder out so you can see where all the fish are.
Yeah,
very good. So I can appreciate and applaud the fact that you are niching down in specific areas, because I can see if you become the best at that specific area, then people will come to you because they've heard of you, because that's what you do. That's what you're going to be known for. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because, as we know, agency owners, it's hard to market our own business because we're spending so much time on marketing for our clients and being able to, you know, promote their brand and their sub brands, if you will.
Yeah.
How do you go about getting the word out for your own marketing services that you're providing to these particular clients?
Yeah.
I'm curious and fascinated how you're going to do this now.
So again, when we split the company, so the generalist firm, the website side, it really continues to grow through referrals, through our network. We've invested a bit in local SEO. So we're focused on, you know, we're in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. So we're building kind of a local brand. That a lot of that is, you know, we're just trying to capture demand that's out there and through stuff that comes to us, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the accounting firm space, and this is really why we did it, you know, I can go to conferences of accountants. Mm-hmm. I can have a booth there. I can, you know, apply for speaking opportunities. There are dozens of accounting firm podcasts that I can go on. I can invite people from those podcasts and other accounting firm owners onto my podcast. Mm-hmm. I can follow tax Twitter on Twitter X, whatever it is, and interact there. I can target people on LinkedIn by job title and industry and location and all these things. And so I can go to them. I can be active in their spaces. And that was never possible when I was going after small business owners, right? Or, you know, like, just general, that general space. I wasn't developing or writing or creating content that was specific enough to appeal specifically to anyone. But also, it's like adding salt to the ocean, right? Like you're just throwing content out there and it's not making any difference. It's just getting, you know, dispersed throughout all of the noise that exists. Mm-hmm. And so now I can really in specific ways go connect with, follow, invite, talk with, attend, you know, in a space where I know I'm going to be seeing my specific clients. So that's how I've done it. The podcast that we launched has been a big deal. Podcasting has become, I mean, we're on a podcast. it's become easier for agencies to do it. But this is kind of the same thing as we've seen our business grow through the relationships we've built by having people on the podcast a lot more than from the audience that is listening to the podcast. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the reasons why I would say to an agency, if you want to start a podcast, there's 1,000 marketing podcasts out there. Mm-hmm. Like building an audience in that space is really hard, but inviting on the people who like you want to be talking with or working with or, you know, networking with to your show, that can be super valuable. And it's been valuable for us.
Yeah, no, I definitely can agree to that. I mean, I've been podcasting off and on for about 7-8 years. I mean, before it was like something that, oh, we have to do this because it's going to be great. And it was just kind of on a whim whenever I, you know, would have somebody in the studio because we're already doing something else, may as well talk to them, whatever. And then of course the pandemic happened and it was like, oh wow, look at our numbers soar. People are listening. You know, we need to do more. And it truly did become a way to communicate and connect with people that otherwise you wouldn't normally be talking to every day. Mm-hmm. And absolutely those relationships that are built. I mean, it's how some of the vendors that we're working with now, I would never have known about them to begin with. Yeah. Like it never would have crossed my mind or path to even like understand that these people do these things that we need for our clients to be able to leverage and take advantage of too. So definitely building those relationships. And then, the residual side effect is that somebody might be listening to the podcast and, you know, want to do business with you in one way or another. But yeah, I can see how the benefit of podcasting has been useful on both sides, either being the podcast host or the person who's on the podcast. So definitely has some different aspects and outcomes from that. Okay, let's change gears just a little bit. I want to talk about how you, I mean, because you mentioned going from art major to marketer. And I'm just curious, kind of who inspired you or mentored you or kind of helped you along the way? I mean, you mentioned that you'd had different jobs. You almost got fired you got fired from one. But I want to know kind of what was it that sort of, or maybe who was it, or maybe there was some resources or something that you tapped into that got you to where you are now? Because I think that let's dig in a little bit deeper about that kind of path there, because I think a lot of people listening might be, you know, kind of going down, they got an education in a certain area, but maybe they need to explore other avenues of what could be potential for them. So let's hear a little bit more about that, Matt.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to like ruffle feathers or throw people under the bus, but I had coffee the other day with someone who had graduated with a marketing degree recently from college, and they had worked a couple of years in a business, and we were talking, and I just asked him, like, so how much of the work that you learned in your marketing classes turned into stuff that you use now? And this is a recent graduate, and he basically said, like, none of it, right? Like everything that I'm doing now, I learned from YouTube videos and from reading and all these other things. And so the reason I say that is not to discourage people who have gone into marketing, but to encourage people who have like diverse experience, that most of what you need to know about marketing today, you can learn, you know, from the internet and from other sources, right? Like it's an ever-changing field. There are some foundational things that you can learn in school for sure, but you can't, you don't have all the skills and all the knowledge you need just by going to school for it. And if you're thinking about like switching careers, I mean, I would say, you know, follow Seth Godin and read a bunch of like marketing books and, you know, do some online HubSpot training and things like that, rather than like go get your MBA or go back for marketing. Like there's so much good information out there. For me, it's hard to say what inspired me. I I got into it. I was living overseas and I started my own blog while I was there and then like wanted to make it look better. And so I started learning about WordPress and, you know, some of these different things. So I kind of dabbled in it for a little while. But I found that I was really good at solving problems and communicating complex ideas clearly. And so I found myself doing some web design work, working with a couple of nonprofit organizations. Donald Miller was a big inspiration to me. I loved his perspective of, you know, clarity as being such a key component. It's not just about being like interesting and funny and artistic and all that. Like clarity has like so much value in the marketplace. So that's really where it started. When I was first designing websites, often I would go in and I'd have this conversation where I would say, "Hey, what do you want your website to say?" And then I'll design it and make it look great for you. And I would look at, you know, the one I think of is like the school administrator who's like, "I don't know what a website should say. I'm an educator." Yeah. Like, you're the marketing expert. And I was sitting here thinking, but I don't know anything about schools. Like, how would I know what your website should say? And I really found the StoryBrand framework to be such a helpful tool for me to be able to execute a process, use a framework that got us to a result that neither of us could come to on our own, right? Like, I was bringing asking marketing expertise. Yeah. Right?
Asking all those questions that can give them any answers that can then be used for content.
Yeah.
For sure.
And so I had been listening to their podcast, and this was even before the StoryBrand book had come out, but reading their blog and things like that. And that was one of the things that really, I think, inspired me to go into marketing. You know, the other thing, I don't know if this was inspiration, but the other thing that I think about a lot from my art school experience was so much of my time in art school was sitting and critiquing either work from other people in the class or looking at work by famous artists. And the whole goal of that is to try to say, like, what are they trying to communicate? Is it effective at communicating that? You know, is it, are there distractions in there? Like, what's, you know, in art, a lot of it is like, if it's not adding to the piece, it should be taken away. And I realized that that's actually not that different than what I do now. Now, the only difference is in art school, it's usually like, oh, what are you trying to say? Oh, stop being so obvious. It needs to be more obscure. Like, it can't be so like in your face and all that. You gotta kind of like muddy it up, not muddy it up, but you know what I mean? Like, you don't want it to feel like propaganda or something like that. And in marketing, it's like the other direction, like radically clear, like really direct is really your friend in most cases. So, you know, just got to push the pendulum the right way.
What you said is critiquing other people's work and being able to showcase and understand what other people are trying to communicate. And yeah, absolutely. In marketing, that's very much so what we're trying to do. And it is artwork in a lot of cases, right? The designs.
It is.
You know, but is it communicating and making you feel an emotion? Is it impacting you, making you want to do something or say something or be something, right? And so I think there are some correlations, and I love it because a lot of times, so I do teach at Boise State and I do teach a marketing class, and I love it when the design students will come and take my marketing class. Because oftentimes they're taught how to make these very beautiful, pretty pictures, but is it going to be effective in delivering the message that you want to convey? And so it's fun when marketers meet the designers and they can come together and, you know, kind of do that mind molding that you were talking about with the educator and the, you know, web programming. So I see that happen where that kind of crossover can kind of make that all happen and come together to make whatever it is that you're wanting to do, whatever impactful piece or call to action or any of those types of things. I can relate to that from that perspective too. And it's not just art and marketing, but it's all of the different businesses that are out there, whether it is the accountant and the marketer, right? Coming together to make something. This is a dumb pun, but make it all add up.
I think that so many... Here's one of the things I've noticed is people who are creative assume that marketing is going to be a good fit for them because it requires a lot of creativity. The biggest difference, though, is you can't be precious about your work, and you have to have thick skin or the ability to adjust, because you're not like the goal is often an external thing that is determining like whether it's effective or not. Whereas in art, so much of it is internal. And I have seen a lot of creatives struggle with critique or taking it personally when the client doesn't like something that they've worked really hard on. And so, and it's not about you. Like it doesn't, and it's just, it's going to be so hard for you if you stay in that spot. So where, you know, that's where I think that creative people really, like the more they can understand that sales kind of marketing metric, like the cold capitalism side of things, like is still really helpful. And I mean, a lot of designers and creative folks aren't necessarily drawn to cold capitalism. A lot of accountants are.
So molding those together. Well, and being able to have something that's effective on both sides, right? Can it be aesthetically pleasing, but also can it be impactful and do what you set it out to do? And that is definitely when you hit the mark, as they say, right? And is your audience going to, you know, buy from you or be sold, or, you know, are they going to be moved by whatever it is that you're wanting to accomplish? And that's the key to successful marketing campaigns.
Okay, Ray, let me turn this around at you. Now that I've said, don't go to school for marketing and go to college, just go to HubSpot.com and take a course. What are you seeing? I'm really curious about, like, what are you seeing in school these days when it comes to marketing and students? I'm turning into the interviewer here. I have concerns about the, like, how are new marketers going to get the experience when everything's remote, and how are they learning if they don't have access to people? And I guess, you know, school is a part of that, but yeah, I'm curious, what's been your experience?
So I'm not from the academic, like I'm an agency owner. So I have real world experience, and fortunately I have connections with the community and business owners, and I have actually given them real world case studies to create a marketing plan, and they have to pitch and they have to present. They actually have to get up in front of people and present and they have to go through that whole process, and they are competing, right? My students will compete against each other, just like in the real world, like agencies do. And I have, you know, I mean, of course, I've had some students that hate it all the way, because they want the tasks. Tell me what to do, how to do it, when to do it, the deadlines. I want to know exactly what I need to do. But then I have other students who are like, this is the best class I've ever taken because it's so real world, and we're actually working with a real client, and we're getting real feedback from a real client as to what this would be if we weren't mocking it up. And I think that there are lots of things that are happening in the academic world where it is just hypothetical, or it's, you know, not really truly where clients can see their work and understand and work with them to get that true sense of experience and being able to stand up in front of them and present to them and do a written, you know, paper that's not just full of ChatGPT and like they actually have to think about what it is that they're going to do and showcase their work and come up with ideas that they can pitch. And I think this case of where they have real world experience and they can simulate what it's going to be like working for an agency, the more they can have that, the better. But I don't know that that's a worldwide adopted practice. I just do it because that's the resources and access that I have. And, you know, I'm not a career academic professor, right? And, you know, I have my master's degree, and I've been doing agency work for 20 years, but the students either have the choice to learn from me, or they can absolutely hate it because it's not your typical academic scenario where you're getting told exactly what to do, how to do it, when to do it, what to say, what not to say. I mean, and so those are some really interesting things that I'm seeing. And I get, you know, we get those evaluations at the end of class, and I get really good, like great, you know, where they can say these wonderful comments. And then I get some that are just, they can't handle it. They're probably the accountants of the world that just want to be like, you know, given strict instructions on exactly how to do every little step of the way. And I
purposefully don't always give them exactly the direction and how they're supposed to do it. I just tell them what the end result needs to be. Now, how you get there, now I'm going to, you know, you ask questions and I'm going to give you answers. But if you, you know, are going to create this written proposal and oral presentation and give your ideas out, it's up to you to decide how you're going to present that and what you're going to do. And sometimes people love it. Sometimes students really absolutely love it because it's the best real world scenario. And others are like, what are you doing? It's the worst in the world.
This is, it's a challenge, I think, for, it's weird how much like personality or like your just kind of your tendencies like can lead you towards success in certain areas and others. I mean, it's a good and a bad thing. Sometimes I guess I've just seen folks who have no experience in the marketing or creative field just thrive because they like that kind of problem solving aspect to it. Cause it's not rocket science. Like there's obviously like it requires a certain amount of creativity and all that. Mm-hmm. And then other people who are amazing artists or incredible, like in their creativity and whatever, who really, really struggle in marketing because of the way like just their personality is or the need for, it's either like, it has to be completely from myself or it has to be like, you know, step by step. And they have like synthesizing client need and, you know, effectiveness and then also your own creativity.
Oh, and then you throw in a budget in there and then it's just what? You're going to restrict me with how much I can spend? No, it's true though. I mean, I think that there's definitely some value in, you know, students being able to go in and learn and work with somebody and be mentored, or even if it's just a job shadow, and if they've never been into an environment where they've got to work with somebody who's in the industry, that I always encourage them. I'm like, even if you can just do a job shadow for a couple of hours, ask questions, you know, see if this is an area that you want to focus on, or maybe there's other things that you'll discover that you don't want to do because of it, you know, and it helps by going through that entire process for sure. Yeah, it is definitely something that we're going to need to do more for our young people to get through. Yeah, for sure.
not to be like the downer of the conversation, but I was sitting at a table. I was at a conference for marketing agency owners, and I was sitting at a table with a bunch of owners, and one of them spoke up and several agreed, and they said, yeah, I don't hire anyone who graduated after 2018 anymore because they don't know how to work with a team. They don't have the skills. And I think what they were saying, not directly, but was the lockdown and the COVID stuff. Senior people work great independently at home, you know, on their own time. You can depend on them. They love the flexible work environment. But it's really hard for people trying to enter the field now because they don't have access to those mentors in a day-to-day way. Yep. And then it's unfortunately like boiling up to the top where because we don't have the process and the system to like bring in new talent, we just don't, we don't want new talent. We only want to hire like senior people.
Well, and not only that, like the human skills, like, you know, the basic human skills that were a little bit lacking because they did only have to be in front of a screen and not be like when, so I've been teaching since 2020. So during the pandemic and the moment that we got to go hybrid and bring students into the classroom, it dawned on me that these students have been on Zoom or on Google Classroom their entire college career at this point, and they had never had to get up in front of a classroom and speak and do anything, even in speech class, which blew my mind because they did it all on, you know, on online. And so we spent a good 3 weeks of our time getting them prepared to present in front of people. And oh my gosh, it was like, I mean, I'm not seeing it as much now because we're, you know, able to be in the classroom, but that generation definitely is not having the types of skills that would otherwise be for an older generation, more mature generation would have. And so, yeah, differences in generation is going to be a big impact, I think, in the next, you know, couple few years that it's being kind of rolled out beyond the time that everyone was locked up, right?
Well, and I mean, just hearing you say that, I just think it's not that younger folks who are trying to go into marketing are wrong or bad, or like it's lack of opportunity, really. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, A, if you're a younger person, you're looking for that entry level job, I would look for something where you can be in person with people. If that's mm-hmm. an option mm-hmm. in any way, learn so much from your peers. And I guess this goes back to kind of my point where like you can only learn so much in school. You have to learn like in practice. And so being mm-hmm. around other people while you're doing that is so beneficial for you. Yeah. And if you're trying to build your career, you know, and it means starting in person for, you know, something less than what you were expecting, it still mm-hmm. might be a great idea. And then for agency owners, I think finding opportunity to like build in mentoring and training and all of that is going to be really an important thing.
I agree. I think that the more we can help mentor the young people that need it, or, you know, the people who are entering the workforce, they definitely could use the guidance along the mm-hmm. way, even though they may not ask for it. That's another thing that I'm noticing. We have to present it in a way that is going to help them for sure. Awesome. Well, Matt, thank you so much for this wonderful conversation today. This has been great. How can people get in touch with you if they would like to learn more about what you're doing for either accountants and or on the website side? Tell us more.
I'm active on LinkedIn. You know, reach out to me and connect, Matt Banker on LinkedIn. You can find our website is bankercreative.com. And then our other website is marketingforaccountingfirms.com. So those are the places you can find us. And I think the main thing is if you're a marketing agency and you're thinking about launching a sub brand or attacking a particular niche, those are the sorts of conversations that I love to have. And I'm happy to be a resource and tell you what I've learned.
Fantastic. Well, Matt, thank you so much. And, let's see, this will be on in a couple weeks. So have a happy new year.
you too. Thank you, Ray.
Until next time, everybody, enjoy your marketing journey.
Thanks for listening to the Marketing Expedition podcast. Want to continue the journey? Don't miss out on new episodes. Subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Wouldn't it be great if there was one place you can go to get all the latest information and tips about marketing and advertising? The Marketing Expedition community is that place. People like you gather in our online community to build relationships with others and find the latest marketing trends, tactics, tools, and technology. We help you build your brand and your bottom line. Start your adventure today. Visit themarketingexpedition.com to find out more.